Right, okay, here we go.
Look, up in the sky, a superstar from days gone by. Let's have a closer squiz at what it is. As Professor Julian Ross gropes the scope and goes a-gazing at the stars.
Father-son selections sometimes produce glorious fruit. Supporters always want a son to emulate exploits of dad. You look at Stephen Silvani, son of Blues premiership star Sergio. Dustin Fletcher, a champion whose father Ken, a great Bombers captain. Third branch of this vine is Mick Martin. His pater, Brian, won a best and fairest at North in 1957. Mickey from Newport joined the Shinboners as an 18-year-old. Member of North's under-19 grand final side in 1987. This teenager, a solid customer, 193-90. Thirds coach Dennis Pagan had Martin as a power forward. When Dennis took over the seniors, he realised the Roos lacked key defenders, moved Mick to full back. The new backman blossomed as his strength grew, matched up on the opposition's biggest, meanest forwards. Martin had pace, knew exactly when to leave his man and gallop downfield, set up goals for Carey or Longmire. If a decision went against him, Mick made a high art of arguing his case with the umpire as the big number four raised his arms on the mark. Pagan admired MM's work ethic on the track. As his body weight increased to 100 kilos, so did his bench press achieve legend status. Mick, an integral element in North's premiership teams of 96 and 99. One final is famous for its last kick. 1994, first preliminary. Mick had covered Geelong star full forward Gary Ablett Sr. for 119 minutes. Lee Tudor centred the ball. Ablett marked as the final siren blew. Gazza Gold to win by 6 points. Martin sank to one knee, his clenched fist to his head. Shades of the Rodin sculpture, The Thinker. At the Kangaroos, Mick had 287 games between 1988 and 2002. Carlton chose Martin with 2002 national pick 84. Pagan and his defender reunited. 13 starts in 2003, then retired with 300 games to his credit. Skinny Martin and son Mick, two great Northerners.
Thanks, Julian. And we were only just talking about the importance of the father and son rule to the very fabric of footy. And we welcome now to the Could Have Been Champions, Mick Martin. Good afternoon, Mick.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
We're going okay. At the time you started footy, there wasn't all the talk that there is nowadays about the father-son rule. You must have pretty firm opinions about it, though.
Yeah, look, I certainly a good rule that's come through over the years. Particularly early days, I was actually zoned to South Melbourne back in those days, and they went to Sydney, and then I was crossed over to Footscray, and under the father and son rule, I had the choice to go to North Melbourne. So I went down that path predominantly because Dennis Pagan came around to our house in Newport and said, just come down for a run, and that's where it all began.
Now, apart from having Pags as your coach in the under-19s, you also had John Kennedy as your senior coach in your first year at North Melbourne. What sort of experience was that?
That was really an eye-opener. John Kennedy was the stature that he was at North Melbourne. He was very, and at Hawthorn, of course, and he actually rucked against the old man in the 40s and 50s. And his stature, his inspiration for my first year as an AFL player would certainly get the hairs on the back of your neck up when he spoke at half-time or before the game.
Now, Mick, 287 games is a fabulous achievement. We were talking earlier in the program today about the players who are finishing up this season who've managed to get over that 250. Getting those last few games beyond 250, all of a sudden it gets very hard for players, doesn't it?
Certainly it does. I mean, there's so many variable factors that are involved in playing your first game, so your 50, 100 or 200 and beyond. And I think there's a lot of, as you get a bit older, it gets a bit tougher, you've got to work harder. There's new crop of players coming up. The game changes itself with rules and so many factors that come into it. And I think at the end of the day, you don't set out to play 300 games or 200 or 100. You go out there to get yourself you know, right to play each AFL game that you get an opportunity to play and play it well.
Mick, you mentioned then new crops of players coming through. Looking at the span of your career, I'm guessing that you played against both Gary Ablett and Gary Ablett Jr.?
That is correct, actually. It was quite unique. After many years of 10 years plus playing on Gary Sr., I actually played on Gary Jr., which was probably for half a game, I think, down at Kidinya Park back then. And it was quite unusual. I still remember the early days when I started off playing on Gary. He was only a kid of 5 or 6 year old walking with him around watching him play.
It's remarkable.
Quite unusual.
Hey, talking of records, Mick, Gary Sr., of course, kicked 100 goals 3 times in his career. Did he bring up his 100th on you on 2 of those occasions?
I remember one of the occasions.
One at the G?
Yeah, one at the G, and there may have been another one. I really can't remember.
He certainly kicked another one, brought up his 100th against North at Princes Park, I reckon.
It may have been yeah, it's one of those things. I'm not too sure whether it was on 99 or 98 or 95 or whatever it may be. Mm. But there has been a couple of times over the whole period of my career where a couple of forwards have kicked the 100.
Mm. Mind you had started as a full forward yourself.
Yeah, it was. You're probably here in the background before I speak. I'm actually at a game watching the Northern Knights against the North Ballarat, and. Just give you a live update. Northern Knights are 38 points to North Ballarat, which were 33, so it's a close game. Mm. And Dennis obviously coaches Northern Knights.
Yes. That's been played down at Williamstown, is that right?
That's correct, yeah. So I thought you were in there.
No, well done, Mick.
Getting back to what was the question again? Full forward, yeah. it was a great experience. I think when I started off in my junior days, I was playing ruck and centre forward because I had the height and speed. And as I scouted around what you play, they invited me down to North when I was 15 years of age. And naturally, as I progressed, Dennis played me in the forward line. And that's where I played 3 years under Dennis, under 19s, in the forward line. And in the last year, kicked 97 goals, it was, yeah. So the following year, I was rewarded down. Playing the fullback.
Mick, 300 games of league football is a marvellous achievement. Did it break your heart to achieve your record not at your beloved Shinboners but down there at Carlton?
Certainly you want to play your career at one club. I've always been on the full belief that I'd never play unless I was a required player. Otherwise, I was always prepared, no matter what stage of my career, to know that if you're not up to playing AFL standard, or if you're playing in the twos, or you're out injured all the time, that'd be the time to retire. For me, it was a little bit different. In the last year, I actually averaged 19 games a year in my whole career throughout the 300 games, which is a pretty good effort for any player. That when you really think about it, if you look at a player that's going to average 19 games a year, you'd be quite happy to pick that player to play for your team. And for me, it was one of those things where a change of football management came along. Dean Lavery came with different ideas and different perspective for the football club. And and Dennis went to Carlton, of course. And our views are different. So I more or less, the meeting was very short with Dean Lavery because. There's a fair bit happening because I've just come back from Bali with Jason McCartney, so there was a bit more going on, and we both went our ways, and sure enough, Dennis gave me a call down the track and said, look, we'd like to have you for a year or two at Carlton to help out the young blokes down there.
Yeah, now we just mentioned Gary Ablett before, and of course... You played in an era when there were some great full forwards going around, and you mentioned Jason Dunstall and Tony Lockett and those sort of Sav Rocker and those sort of blokes. Who was your toughest opponent during that era?
I think definitely when you look at the top all-time greats in the top five goal kickers, Tony Lockett's up there with Jason Dunstall and Gary Ablett. So those three undoubtedly cut above the rest. They're the type of guys, if they get a couple of marks a quarter in inside the 50, they'll definitely kick like 7-1 or 6-2. They really make you pay every time. So that's why in those days the scores, particularly with Gary Ablett or a Lachlan, that they come out against the low base teams and kick their 12s or, you know, 10s or 14s in some cases. Having said that, you've got to be careful with other you know, good full forwards which have kicked over 100 goals. And I'm going back to the early days when some of the players were Simon Beasley in the first year, Brian Taylor's another one. Mm. And then you go through and you've got Tony Modra, Warwick Kappa.
Was Paul Salmon around in those days as well?
Yeah, he was too. Yeah, another one. Yeah, I mean, let's go on. 100 goal kickers. Any of those guys you play against was really, you had to be on your guard and you had to play at your best. Otherwise, you know, you'd be part of the 100 goals a day kick.
Yeah, Torchy's question was a good one, Mick, but who was the easiest full forward you played against? Who was a cinch?
Yeah. I didn't mind playing at Warwick Kappa. he never played in front of me. He was always playing right at the baseline of the goal square. And sometimes he'd even try to climb up the goalpost. But good old Wasser, again, he's really respected. He kicked 100. You know, when you had those Williams and those type of...
Gerard
Healy.
Well, the reason he wouldn't get out of the goal square because he couldn't kick more than 15 metres.
That's probably true too, yeah. But he was a bit, he's always looking out of the corner of his eye and it's a bit obvious at times.
Hey, Mick, you know, it's only 6 years since you played, but it all of a sudden seems like a lifetime ago because you see these things happening now with the umpires mic'd up and they give blokes 50 metres because of... A demonstrable,
gesture.
Fair dinkum, your best one was probably throwing the mouth guard into the ground, wasn't
you
it?
You patented that.
Yeah, I got a 50 for that actually against me. It was, I think it was against Gary Ablett in CG, and I threw my mouth guard on the ground, and the umpire gave a 50 against him. So that was an interesting one, but it gets back to interpretation by the umpire of how they play the. You know, the penalties or frees against you. But, look, these days, the rules are they're getting fiddled around a fair bit, and it's, you know, you hear it all the time. That you should, to a certain degree, let the game be played without too much interference. But I think it goes in flavours of a month or a week to where they may change the rules midway through the season or adjust them.
We always just figured that when you sort of threw your mouth guard down or... You know, slapped your hand on your knee or whatever. It was just you were frustrated with yourself or your opponent. It wasn't directed at the umpire at all.
Yeah, I'd always tell the umpire that. But it's one of those things. Obviously, you know, if you miss a spoil and a mark that the forward got, you should have got to. You get frustrated within yourself.
Yeah.
A bit like probably these days. I notice Max Hutchinson. He gets a bit like that.
Oh yeah.
But I'm sure, unlike some modern players, though, Mick, you would have put your mouth guard back in again.
Yeah, if I could find it. Or the, or always word it up one of the trainers. If I throw it on the ground, just give it to me later.
Yeah. Make sure they rinse it off first.
Mick, it's been terrific talking to you. Before we let you go, can you just give us an update on the Knights North Ballarat game? Whoa!
What's that siren? It's a three-quarter time, and the Northern Knights 5-8-38 to North Ballarat, which are 5-4-34. So the Northern Knights are 4 points up, and I think they'll be kicking with the wind in the last quarter.
Is that going towards the ocean end?
Yes, it is, yeah. So I think even though they're 4 points up, I think they might be able to improve in that lead and win the game for Dennis.
And are you there just barracking, or you've got some official capacity?
I live in Williamstown, so I
we know that.
So I've just come down to watch the boys play and see how Dennis goes as a coach. See if he's still got it.
And the verdict at the moment?
Yeah, I think Northern Knights will.
No, Dennis, has he still got it?
Oh, Dennis, I'll better go down there and hear him in his third time huddle.
Okay, we'll let you get down there and hear it. Thanks very much, Mick.
No worries. See you, boys.